fifth chapter. We'll read the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The subject of this verse is seen in two words, liberty and then the word free. Those are two great words, liberty and free. The antithesis of those two words are seen, of course, in the word bondage in this verse. Freedom is one of the most constant themes throughout human history, throughout the history of the world. People have longed for freedom. People have fought and struggled for freedom from opposition of tyranny. There's something about the struggle for freedom that resonates in the hearts of most. And you and I have been abundantly blessed to have lived our entire lives in a country of liberty and freedom. Most of the world does not know the freedom in which we have been blessed. July 4th, of course, is a special time when we are to remember our freedom, to be thankful for it, to reflect upon it, what it means, and what it's cost. And freedom always cost somebody. If you were to isolate one thing as the hallmark of our nation, it would be freedom. Someone might say, no, it'd be God. No, because that's no longer so. It would be freedom. In fact, in the world's eyes, and it is so, America is synonymous with being free. Being free. And we thank God for national freedom, which we have enjoyed our entire life. It's not something we should take for granted. We may not always have it. It is no accident. The freedom that we enjoy in this land is no accident. It is of God. And all through the Word of God, we read of earthly and physical liberty. We also read of physical bondage and of nations and individuals. This nation was born based on the ideas, on the ideal of liberty. With liberty comes responsibility. That's what a lot of people don't seem to realize. But with liberty comes responsibility. Our nation was founded on the ideals of morality. And the goal to, or the aim to become what God would have us to be. So it is a great privilege to live in such a nation. There's a lot wrong with the United States. The United States has many problems, and the United States is facing the judgment of God. There's no question about any of that. But it is a free land, and for that we ought to be thankful. Again, the subject matter of our text is seen in that word liberty, and then again in the word free. Now, Paul here is not talking about an earthly or physical liberty of nations or individuals. He's talking about a spiritual liberty, a spiritual freedom from a spiritual bondage. It's a liberty and freedom that only the saved know. And this spiritual liberty and freedom is far, far greater and more consequential than any other liberty or freedom. And this spiritual liberty is vividly illustrated and portrayed throughout the Word of God. It is illustrated by the records of earthly liberty and earthly bondage. And in connection with this spiritual liberty is even a greater and more consequential liberty, and that, of course, is eternal liberty, which we still wait. That will be the next big event. It's when the Lord comes, or when we depart this life and we enter into perfect liberty. We want to speak tonight on spiritual liberation and freedom. The book of Galatians is very, very, very relevant to our day for a lot of reasons, and we're not going to go through all of that. But it's a book of Christian liberty. You notice that our text, the third word in, you have that word, therefore. Looking back to something that has been previously stated, it would most directly refer to Galatians 4, verses 21 through 31. And in those verses, spiritual or salvation freedom is allegorized using Hagar and Sarah. But that's the subject of those verses. Verses 21 through 31, you have salvation freedom, or the freedom that we have in salvation. So our text becomes a summary statement of what went before. Our text is also a transitional statement. In chapters 3 and 4, Paul emphasizes the doctrine of salvation by grace, or justification by faith. And here in chapter 5, with the word therefore, he transitions from the doctrinal to the practical. And it is here in chapter 5, verse 1, that Paul begins to press upon these Galatian believers the practical aspect of being liberated in Christ. The text is also a very concise statement of what Christ has done for us who are saved. Again, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Paul in those words brings a lot of things together. concerning our spiritual liberation, our spiritual freedom. There are three things that we want to consider in the text, three main things. The text declares something. It is a declaration. The declaration is Christ hath made us free. Christ hath made us free. First of all, that is a declaration of a truth. The truth is there is liberation in Jesus Christ. This verse declares that. That statement declares that. Christ hath made us free. So it is a declaration of a truth. It is also the declaration of an event. Christ hath made us free. So it is referring to an event, something that has personally transpired in the lives of those whom Paul is addressing. Notice that in this event, Christ is the initiator, Christ is the actor, the performer. We are the recipients. It is Christ hath. Christ hath. Christ hath. It's talking not about what we have done. It is talking about something He has done on our behalf. To us, Christ hath. So it is an act of Christ. It is a work of Jesus Christ. That truth needs to grip our hearts. Christ is the initiator. Christ is the actor or performer. We are merely the recipients of what Christ has done. Christ hath. Now notice the liberty wherewith, with which, the liberty wherewith or with which Christ hath made us free. Liberty is the quality or state of being not bound. It is the quality or state of not being confined or detained by an outside force. And it is declared here the liberty wherewith, with which Christ hath made us. Doesn't just say that Christ set us free. It says Christ hath made us. That is, Christ has caused us to become something that we were not previously before. Christ hath made us free. And that's in this liberty, wherewith, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In other words, we have been freed by Christ for freedom. Set free to be free. Freed unto freedom. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Jesus Christ set us free. Jesus Christ brought us into a state when He saved our souls. He brought us into a state of freedom. Jesus Christ set us free. He emancipated us. He liberated us. And He brought us into the realm of freedom. Because had just Jesus Christ set us free, you and I would have gone right back into bondage. But He has set us free unto freedom. In other words, He's placed us in the realm of freedom. He did this when He saved us. So Christ has set us free from the bondage, but not only from the bondage, but from the correspondent life of the bondage. And He's brought us into freedom, into the correspondent life of freedom. Christ hath set us free. The greatest and most cruel bondage that there is spiritual bondage. There is no worse. And everyone enters this life in this bondage. It is a bondage to sin. It is a bondage to Satan. It is a bondage to our own sinful nature or flesh. And as terrible and cruel and oppressive as earthly enslavements are, there's no enslavement more terrible, more devastating than this enslavement to sin and to Satan and to our own human nature. Jesus declared in Luke 4:18 that He came to preach or to declare deliverance to the captives. He came with a message of deliverance for the captives. But that's not all He did. He goes on to say, to set at liberty. To set at liberty. Again, He puts them in a state or being of freedom. To set at liberty them that are bruised or wounded as a result of their enslavement. And Paul speaks of this liberty that Christ came to give here in our text. So the only hope for the unsaved sinner is this liberty, is this freedom that is in Christ. Now, in the declaration of our text, Paul is not speaking of liberty and freedom in general terms. He's speaking very, very specifically. He says, the liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. A very specific liberty that is in Christ. A very specific liberty that Christ brings about. It is a liberty in salvation from the bondage of sin. You and I that are saved, we still sin. We sin every day. But we are not under the dominating control of sin. Sin's holding power has been broken. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. You see, sin binds every faculty of the unsaved sinner. It binds their minds, their affections, their perceptions, their understandings, their wills, etc. So much so that they are said to be dead in trespasses and sins. This liberty that we're talking about is a liberty from the bondage of sin. Romans 6 puts it this way, we're no longer the servants of sin. You see, before sin called, we answered. We were the servants of sin. We're no longer the servants of sin. Sin is no longer our master. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. This liberty that we're talking about also is an emancipation from this spiritual death that the bondage of sin brings. So we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We have been set free from spiritual death. We have been set free from the power of darkness. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So again, it is a moving, it's not just a setting free, it's a moving from one realm to another. We have been set free from the power of darkness and we've been translated, or if you will, transferred to the kingdom of his Son. In other words, we've been liberated from not only from the darkness, but we've been liberated from the correspondent life of the darkness. And we've been transferred to the kingdom of God, or transferred to the correspondent life of that kingdom. So it is a liberty from the power of sin. It is a liberty from spiritual death. It is a liberty from the power of darkness. It is also a liberty from the penalty of sin. Again, this liberty we have right now, we that are saved. We read in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, we've been delivered from the penalty of sins. We've been set free from what our sins deserve. Set free. It is a liberty also from the fear and power of death. Unsaved individuals, whether they will admit it or not, are terrified of death. They're terrified of death. We have been delivered from the fear and most importantly from the power of death. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:57, O death, where is thy sting? If you remove the stinger, it's harmless. And for you and I that are saved, the sting of death has been removed. Death does not harm us. It goes on to say, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. It is sin that makes death harmful. And the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. Yes, I'm still a sinner. Yes, you're still a sinner. But the glorious news is this. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. We're not saying we're any better than anyone else. But you see, the penalty has been taken away. We've sinned, we're guilty of sin just like any unsaved individual. But the difference is the penalty has been taken away. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. And we have been set free unto freedom. That is, we have been set free to live a wonderful life. We have the freedom to approach God. We have that freedom. We have the freedom to worship God. We have the freedom to serve the Lord. And not just as a mere servant, but as a son or as a child. Notice Galatians 4 verse 7, it says, "Thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." It doesn't mean that we're not to serve. But what it does mean is that we serve in a different capacity. We don't serve in the capacity of a mere servant. We're not just serving a master, in other words, we're serving a father. You see, a son obeys out of love. We're to serve God because we love Him. A servant serves out of fear. You and I are not to serve out of fear. We're to serve out of love. There's a big difference between a son and a servant. We're servant sons, not just a servant. We are servant sons and daughters. Now there are many who profess to be saved. And this is why the book of Galatians is very appropriate for today, very applicable, very relevant for our day. There are those who serve strictly out of fear. I've heard them speak many times. "Well, I've got to give a tithe and offering because if I don't, God's going to take it anyway." Really? That's why you do that? That's serving out of fear. "Well, I got to do this because if I don't, God's going to punish me." That's serving out of fear. That's not how we're to serve. But that's how many of these Galatians were now serving, as we'll see in a moment. Also, we must not forget that freedom has a cost. Freedom has a cost. That's true of our national freedom. And the cost has been high. But it is even more so of our spiritual freedom. We must always remember that our freedom has a cost. So it's Christ that has set us free. Now notice in Galatians 1, verse 4, the last three words of verse 3 are Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, referring to Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He purchased, He set us free. Prior to that, He purchased our freedom. How did He purchase our freedom? By becoming a curse for us in our place. So when Paul makes this statement, the liberty wherewith Christ hath set us free, based on the two verses we've just read, Galatians 1:4 and Galatians 3:13, does not Paul have in mind the substitutionary curse-bearing that took place at Calvary? That's the cost of our freedom. And it was there at Calvary where God poured out His wrath upon His Son because our sins were upon Him. He's pouring out His wrath upon... There it was, our sins got what they deserved. Therefore, we're set free from the penalty because Christ has paid the penalty. The liberty wherewith Christ hath set us free. That's quite a declaration. It is indicative of a blessing, the greatest blessing there is. It is indicative of a privilege. What a privilege to have been set free. It is also indicative of a great opportunity, because now we can live our lives in the realm of freedom, in the realm of spiritual freedom. The text also, not only is a declaration, it's also an exhortation. The fact that there is an exhortation regarding this spiritual freedom is indicative of the fact that freedom brings responsibility. You and I that are saved have been set free. And that very freedom makes us responsible. Makes us responsible to live the life of freedom. Now the exhortation in our text is twofold. There's the positive. Stand fast in the liberty. That is, stand fast in the state of being free. Stand, of course, is the verb. It's what we are to do. What we are to do. It conveys the idea of continuation. We're to continue in the freedom that the Lord has given us at salvation. The word fast, of course, is the adverb and describes how we are to stand. And it conveys the idea that we are to stand firmly fixed in place. Firmly fixed in our freedom. Firmly fixed in the life that freedom brings. Immovable from that place. Stand fast. That implies that there is opposition and hostility. Wherever there is freedom, there is opposition. Wherever there is freedom, there is hostility. Stand fast in the liberty. Guard your Christ-given freedom. Stand firm in your God-given, Christ-given freedom. This declaration also has a negative. Be not entangled. That is, be not intertwined and snarled and captured and bogged down again by the yoke or with the yoke of bondage. That is indicative of the fact that there are opposing forces that seek to drag us back into bondage. Not that we can lose our salvation, but we can be dragged back into bondage, as were many of these Galatians. And then our text contains a warning or a danger. And again, that's seen in the negative aspect of the exhortation, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That serves as a warning. That tells us that there is a danger. Just as there are enemies to our national freedom, and these enemies are not merely outside nations. These enemies are within our country. These enemies hold public office. And there's no denying that they are enemies to freedom. They hate freedom. They hate for you and I to have freedom. They don't mind having it themselves. But they are enemies to our national freedom. So they're in, just as that is so, there are also enemy forces to our spiritual freedom. Again, it doesn't mean that we can lose our salvation. But it does mean that we can cease to live in the freedom that Christ has given us. We can cease to live in that freedom. And many have. Many have. Such was true of many of these Galatian believers. Galatia is not a city, by the way, it's a region. And in that region are many cities. We learn from Acts chapter 13 and 14, these cities where churches were organized were Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. During Paul's first missionary journey, there were churches organized in these cities, this region of Galatia. In Acts 16 through 18, we see that Paul returned to those places to strengthen and to encourage those churches. But by the time we get to the letter of Galatians, we see that much had changed in these churches since Paul's visit to them. You see, false teachers had arrived, and they began to put demands on these Galatian believers that they must observe Jewish law and order if they wanted to receive a full blessing from God. So these teachers were Judaizers. And they were telling the people, if you want to be truly holy, if you want to be right with God, you've got to be like us. Judaizers aren't dead. They're all over the place. Oh, they're not trying to convert you to Judaism. But they are sending the same message. If you want to be holy, if you want to be right with God, you've got to be like me. That's Judaizers. That's what they were doing. And that's rampant today. They were telling the people, again, if you want to be right, if you want to be holy, live like me. What they were doing was introducing a works-based theology. But even more sad is the fact that they were introducing a works-based life. And from chapter 1, we see that many of these Galatian believers were being pulled into this works-based system of religion and living. Notice verse 6 and 7 of Galatians chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice he goes on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. By being dragged into this system of works, notice who it was the part they were being removed from. Moved from him. There are a lot of people today who, in the name of service to God, God has nothing to do with it. They have been removed from him. And it's simply a works-based lifestyle. And it's a works-based lifestyle out of fear. Well, if I don't do this, God's going to let me have it. And again, they picture God as standing over the individual just as if he just can't hardly wait to just let you have it. If that were so, none of us would be here. None of us. That's just not so. Does God punish his children? Yes, he does. But does he let us have it for every single thing? No, he doesn't. He's long-suffering. He's presented as our Father. And as these Galatians were being moved into this system of works, again, they were saved, but they were being moved into this system of works. What happened? They were being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You see, they didn't cease serving, but they served from the wrong perspective. And there's a lot of God's people doing that today. They don't cease from serving, that is, in their eyes, but they serve from a wrong perspective. They serve to be right with God rather than serving because they are right with God. A big difference. If you serve to be right with God, you'll never achieve it. But if you serve because you're right with God, there's joy in that. Again, it's a matter of emphasis. These Galatians, they serve to be holy. Well, I'm holy because I do such and such. You're not holy because you do anything. Holiness is inward. That manifests itself outwardly. We do not serve to be holy. We serve because we are holy. Big difference. We see they serve to be accepted. I've got to do this, 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 this to be accepted by God. I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. We do not serve to be accepted. We serve because we are accepted. And if the order is reversed, you're entangled in bondage. And I believe a lot of God's people are. Their service was in bondage. That is, many of them. The book of Galatians explains how the saved person's new relationship with God, and based upon that relationship, how we are to serve God in that relationship. We're to serve as sons. Not mere servants, but son servants. Now, there, of course, are a great variety of prisons that you and I can find ourselves in. One is like these Galatians, we can imprison ourselves with our so-called service because we have a wrong perspective. We serve from a wrong perspective. That's being entangled again. You can be entangled in worldliness. You can be entangled in self. You can be entangled in circumstances, situations, problems. On and on we can go. You can be entangled by attitudes. There are people who live in the prisons of bad attitudes. The truth is this, many of God's people who have been set free have been arrested and dragged off and live in prison. They've been set free, but they do not live a life of freedom. It's like the elephant that has that chain on his foot. That elephant could break that chain. That elephant's free, but it doesn't even know it. Doesn't even know it. Or the eagle at the zoo. Same thing. The key to not being entangled again in the yoke of bondage is seen, first of all, in Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Before God delivered Israel, remember, he appeared unto Moses, and he revealed himself as the I Am. What he's telling Moses is, Moses, this is about me. This is about me. This isn't about you. This is about me. That's true when it comes to serving God. We keep that in mind. We won't be entangled in bondage. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. It's about him. When God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, it was so that they could go and possess the land of Canaan. He didn't just deliver them to let them live their life as they pleased. It was a deliverance so that they could advance. So it is with us spiritually. Christ has set us free. Not that we return to bondage, but that we advance. That we advance in our freedom. And the truth is this. Once we stop advancing spiritually, we've become entangled. We've become entangled in something. It can be just about anything. But once you stop advancing spiritually, you are entangled. So the way to avoid it is to keep advancing spiritually. Paul explained in closing to these Galatians how not to be entangled in Galatians 2 verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's serving from a right perspective. He's serving because of who Christ is. He's serving because of what Christ has done. And that's why it is so, so very important that we know who God is, that we know who Christ is, that we know the price that was paid for our salvation, because that is an incentive to service. That is to be our motivation because of who Christ is. We ought to serve Him. And that's why Satan does everything in his power to get our eyes off of Christ. John 8, verse 36, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's no freedom like it. But what is so sad is that many who have been set free, we have been set free to freedom, set free to live a life of freedom, yet many who have been set free do not live a life of freedom. They live a life in prison. They live a life in bondage. Got to serve from a right perspective who the Lord is. You don't serve because what will so-and-so think if I don't do this? It really doesn't matter. That's not why you serve. You serve because of Jesus Christ. And you serve from a position of relationship, not from fear of punishment. Amen. You serve from a position of relationship. I am His child. Right. And as His child, I have responsibilities in the family, and I serve because I love Him. Amen. That's the reason. Any other form of service is a bondage. It's a bondage. And you never achieve. If you try to serve in order to be holy, you never achieve that. And there comes a point where you realize it. And you, what's the use? What's the use? God help us to enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ. Brother Jim, if you'd come and live it.